This evening's reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. After they, the wise men, had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, and he said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. "A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. When Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream. So he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town called Nazareth. And so what the prophet had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene. The grass fades and the flowers wither, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Hi, good evening, everybody. So we're a smaller group this evening, which is really nice. So I'm going to actually start by getting you guys to just talk for a minute amongst yourselves. I just want you to talk to somebody near you, preferably not the person you came with, but somebody else, and to just share something about what Christmas was like for you this year. Was it what you expected? Was it a different Christmas than you've normally had? Like, just how was the day? How was your celebration this year? And then how are you feeling now that Christmas is over? Okay, so those two things. What was Christmas like? Different than you expected or same as normal? Just share something about that. And how do you feel now that Christmas is over? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for sharing. There was a lot of discussion, so that was nice. I'm glad to have seen people were talking. So I don't obviously know what you shared, but you all know what you shared and how you are feeling about how Christmas was. So I had shared this morning, so Christmas for me this year, it was a bit different. It was my fourth Christmas since my parents have passed away, so my fourth Christmas without my parents. And it was also the first Christmas that I wasn't with any family at all. So it was a very different kind of Christmas, but it was still a really special day. And somehow, I've always really enjoyed Christmas. I've always loved the harp and the lights and the decorations and the singing and the excitement. So that was all still there. But more and more, I've realized that all of that energy after the carols have passed, after all the meals have been eaten, you just end up feeling a bit flat. Or I end up feeling a bit flat. And a bit like, oh, okay, now it's just everything is kind of back to normal. So I don't know how everybody else is feeling tonight. Maybe you are still very much feeling that Christmas spirit in the Christmas joy. Maybe you're also feeling a bit flatter, a bit more deflated, like, oh, okay, now what? All the excitement is over. What do we do now? And the striking thing about today's gospel that we read is that it doesn't ask us to pick a side. It doesn't say we have to stay in the happy. In fact, it transitions quite heavily into a shadow side of the Christmas story that we don't often talk about. And we're taken from the joy of the manger and Jesus being born into a place of fear and violence and displacement. Families having to flee in the middle of the night. Herod, who's in power and is now reacting with brutality to enforce and keep his power. And if there's any place where people would be asking, where is God? I definitely think it would come out in tonight's passage. Because it really isn't an easy story. It's not something we would portray on a Christmas card. And it's what biblical scholars sometimes call a terror text. Not to frighten us, but because it refuses to paint a peaceful picture or, you know, a wrong picture of the world that Jesus was born into. The world that Jesus was born into was filled with pain and anguish and wasn't always just peaceful and joyful. And Matthew also refuses to allow us to turn away from that pain. He talks about Rachel and takes us back to that Rachel weeping over her children and refusing to be comforted. And I think so often in our world, we try to comfort people as quickly as possible. We want to fix their grief. But the Bible gives Rachel the space to simply weep and to feel how she feels. And it names her grief not as a lack of faith, but as a truthful response to a broken world. And I wonder if any of us here have felt like Rachel lately, needing the space to simply be sad or to feel the weight of things without someone trying to fix it or comfort you too quickly. And I think that's why tonight's reading feels so jarring for us, because it doesn't tell us what to do with these uncomfortable feelings or this uncomfortable story. Which is hard if you're someone like me who wants to have an answer, who wants to understand why things happen, who wants an explanation for why things go this way. But I've discovered that Scripture isn't always interested in giving us answers. Sometimes it just gives us a witness. And this passage does that. It is an honest reminder of the truth that God's presence doesn't always look like protection from danger. Often it looks like guidance through it. And even then, harm can still happen. Guidance does not guarantee safety. It doesn't erase trauma. It doesn't mean everything turns out okay. But it means that we are never abandoned, even when the outcome is painful. And this tension of God being present, even when the world is so hard and so painful and so broken, can often change the way we see everything. It's like looking through a lens that has been damaged. I shared this morning, a week ago, I went out for lunch with Lindeka and a friend of hers, and I wanted to take a selfie. I love taking selfies. I wanted to take a selfie of us. And I took the picture, and then I had a look at it, and the picture was really bad. It was all blurry. Like we were standing in a cloud. So I was like, okay, well, maybe the lighting was wrong from that angle. Let's stand this side and try again. And so we moved around a bit and we tried to take the picture a couple of times in a couple of different ways, but it was all the same. And I was like, man, this is a new phone. What is wrong with this camera? What is wrong with this phone? And someone said, maybe the lens is just dirty. And I thought, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And my screen protector had actually been very cracked for a long time, and I just hadn't gotten around to changing it yet, but hadn't thought about the fact that in all those cracks, how much dirt had been getting underneath. And when I peeled the screen protector off and I removed the dirt, the camera was fine. We had a beautiful selfie. Because it turns out that the sensor was fine, the camera was fine, the lens had just been distorted by a layer of dirt. And I think something like that happens in our faith as well. Sometimes the grit of the world gets in the way of how we see God. The dirt of grief, of exhaustion, of broken relationships, of financial worries, of health worries. These things work their way under our skin, and they leave a mark on us. And so when we try to look for God, sometimes the image comes back a little bit blurry. And I wonder if that how some of us are seeing God today. I wonder if the grit of life has worked its way under your skin, making the divine feel distant or foggy. But hear this, foggy vision is not a sign that faith has gone wrong. It is faith that has been marked by living in a fractured world. It's a bit like walking into a dark room or stepping out of the chapel at the end of the service if we switched all the lights off. All of a sudden you might panic because everything's unfamiliar and you're like, everybody freezes because we don't want to fall, we don't get it hurt. But nothing has actually changed. Nothing moved, everything was still in the same place. We just needed to allow ourselves some time and our eyes a moment to adjust to the darkness, to a different kind of light. But often we want to rush to switch on the light or just leave the room. And we never give our eyes the time to adjust. And in our faith, in those moments, we also sometimes want to rush to a resolution, to finding an answer, or having an easy way out. But I think sometimes it's not about having clear vision. It's the decision to remain in the room, in the darkness, and to wait. Remaining open even when you cannot see the path ahead very clearly. And when I think about what it means to keep showing up in that dim, foggy light, I keep coming back to Joseph. And I don't know about you, but I often overlook Joseph as part of the story because he doesn't say much. He's a bit of a silent character, but his actions speak loudly. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he had every right to leave her and to walk away. He could have saved his reputation, but he chose to stay. And that choice cost him something. And now here again in this passage in Matthew 2, he is asked to act in obedience again. He's woken up in the middle of the night, told to take Mary and baby Jesus and to flee and to become refugees in a distant land. And this is what faithfulness looks like here. Quiet, responsive, and taken one step at a time. Joseph has no idea how the story is going to end. He doesn't know what they're going to do when they get to Egypt, where they're going to stay, what it's going to look like. He doesn't have a map. He doesn't know how long they're going to have to stay there. He doesn't know what's going to happen to his carpentry business while he's away. But he goes. And then even after Herod dies, Joseph receives another warning to go back to Israel, but you can't go back the way you came. You have to go by a different path. So the danger that Joseph faced and that Mary and baby Jesus faced was very real. The displacement was real. The fear was real. And yet God was at work, not by removing the danger, but by speaking in the midst of it and providing a way through. I wonder what small step of faithfulness you might be sensing that you could take this week, even if you can't see the end of the road yet. This Sunday doesn't ask us to make sense of the tragedy in this story. It just asks us to notice that God is still at work in it. Jesus was kept safe because Joseph acted in obedience. And that really matters so much for us because it means that our everyday choices are not insignificant because God can work through them. But we also don't have to carry this weight and this faithfulness in isolation. As a church, especially on a night like tonight, our calling is to be a community who stays in the darkness together. We hold the space for each other while our eyes adjust. We stand with the person who is weeping and don't offer them cheap comfort. We hold the cracked lenses for one another. God hears the cries of the Rachels of the world, and he hears yours as well. This is what God with us, Emmanuel, actually looks like. Not like fixing the world, but calling us to pay attention, to see where life is fragile, and to be willing to respond with whatever small light we have to bring and to offer in a situation. In a moment, we're going to sing together. And I invite you just to stay with whatever feelings come up about from the story or have arisen for you. And trust that even when the light is dim, or if your story has shifted this Christmas season, or going into the new year, or if the story, the road ahead isn't quite looking like you expected it to know and to trust that you are not and will never be abandoned. Amen.